Monday, 11th of August, Yud Menachem Of, Rabbi David Kutler, Mesilas Nefesh.
Good morning, thank you for inviting me. It's not easy to come, what's a Tisha B'Av? I just want to start with a short Dvar Halacha. After agreeing to give the shir last week sometime, I had a shayla. I thought maybe Asar B'Av, yeah, the tenth of Av, maybe you're limited to the restrictions of Limitora that you have on Tisha B'Av. In which case I would have to try and find something to say on Iyav or Eicha, which I didn't much fancy. So I thought it about a little bit, and I decided that in fact it's no Shaila. But why? So the Mechaber says in Siman Toskos Mundanot, on Tisha B'Av, Asa Berechitza, the Sicha, and the Ilas of Andri, etc., Asa Likros B'Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Shenem, Asa Kudu Hashem, Yisharim, Masam Chilein. Whereas the Torah Masameach a person. That's on Tisha B'Av. When the Mechaber talks about Matzu Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Av, he says, in fact, B'Tisha B'Av, Le'eis Erev, Hetzitzo, Eish B'Heichel, B'Nisra, Adishkiya Sechama, B'Yam Asiri. The Ramah says we're machmir, at least with these two things, we're machmir up to chatzos. So it seems from the Diak Galoshin and Mechaber and Ramah that Limud Torah is not included in the Issa, any of the Issurim of the 10th day. But why is that? Yeah, the Maaser, music we won't listen to until Chatzos. Limud Torah we can start straight away from Matzu Tisha B'Av. At least Limud Torah is a Mesameach a person, at least as much as listening to music, at least listening to a nice Nigam, rather much, much more. So why the Chazal in Hanhaga, why did they make a Chiluk? To answer the question, or to make the question a bit stronger, what happened on the Shulchan Aruch says that what happened on the 10th of Av was really the Ikka destruction of the Beis Mikdash. It was set light in Shkia, but then it burnt. The Beis Mikdash was burning the whole 10th day. So Rishalmi says that Rabbi Ovin, he would fast on the 9th and on the 10th of Av as well. Reb Levi says he fasted on the 9th, but on the 10th by night he fasted, but not more than that because he wasn't strong enough. And nowadays, when our kriyas have diminished somewhat, so nowadays we don't fast on the 10th because we don't have the kriyas to fast for 2 days. But it seems me'ikadin really there's enough of a reason to fast for 2 days. Yeah, not like Erev Tisha B'Av or earlier. There's really enough of a reason to fast for 2 days. No, if we're not strong enough, we're not up to it. So therefore, we don't. Olamayt is better. So why is that? Given that that's the that it's just a heta, not to fast. So what about the other restrictions? Yeah, the other restrictions. Why don't they apply? We don't. As we said, we don't eat meat. We don't drink wine. Don't listen to music. So why don't we include Limud Torah as well? And as I said, the answer is poshut. Maybe there's no question really, but we can bring a proof from the Din of Havdalah. In Tovkuf Nunvav, the Mishnah Berurah brings the Mariel. And he says that the din of Havdalah that we made last night, he says we make Havdalah ala kos, and we can make a bo pi hagafen. Let's make a bo pi hagafen. So the Shaul Tzion said that in the 9 days, yeah, the din is slightly stricter. Yeah, in the 9 days. You make it, Shabbos in the middle of the 9 days, so you make Havdalah, and it says you can use wine, but it's better to give it to a tinnik. Yeah? Last night, there was no din of better to give it to a tinnik. You make Havdalah, and you can drink the wine. Yeah. So Shaltiel asks this as a stira. Says, why don't we? Why doesn't the Maril say over here that you should give the wine to a tinnock? You can drink wine to say the chatzim. You can drink it yourself. So Shaltiel gives a text. He says, Elamai, you can see that the halachas that Chazal were noeg were told us to be noeg on the 10th of Av, in fact from Motzi Tisha B'Av, were less strict than during the 9 days. Oh, now, Kal v'chomer now, during the 9 days, there was no restriction on Limud Torah at all. Yeah? Therefore, Kal v'chomer, Motzi Tisha B'Av, there should be no restriction on Limud Torah at all. So that was my first heta. A friend of mine told me, Al Derech HaPshat, Al Derech HaDrush, said like this. He says, we don't fast for 2 days because that's something which we haven't got the kayach to do. It's impossible. We should do, but it's impossible for us to do. So he made a cheshbon. He says, Erev Tisha B'Av from Chatzayis, we don't learn. Yeah? At Tisha B'Av, we do. We only learn restricted things. We learn what we're allowed to learn. So Erev, so we don't learn properly what we want to be Ma'ayan. We don't learn what, we have a limitation in our limitera. So he says like this. So Erev Tisha B'Av from Chatzos we have a limitation, that's 1 day. Tisha B'Av we don't, that's 2 days. If Chazal were to tell us not to learn on Motzi Tisha B'Av as well, that would be 3 days restriction of Limud Torah. And so that's impossible. That's a takana that we can't stand up to. Yeah, maybe it's similar to, you know, we don't go 3 days without Limud Torah. Look, here it's not 3 whole days. It mixes, maybe mixes kukulai. So we don't go, we're not, Chazal, we're not going to tell us to be noeg 3 days without regular Limud Torah. Well, so therefore, I came to the conclusion that I was allowed to give a regular shiur today. And we don't need to ask the Olam to come back again tomorrow. Not for me, anyway. So I wanted to talk about the mitzvah that we find in Krishma, which is the mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh. The Pasuk says in Shema, "V'yahavta es Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol mevecha." So Gemara in Bracha says, "Afilu neitel nafshecha." You should love Hashem with all your heart, all your soul, and all your substance, all your wealth. So b'chol nafshecha. Gemara in Bracha says, "Afilu hu neitel nafshecha." Definitely pshat, the poshet pshat in the pasuk. Although it's not brought as a mitzvah in Sefer Chinuch, I'm not sure why. But definitely pshat in the pasuk is talking about a person like the Mesiras Nefesh of Rabbi Akiva, who gave up his life for Torah. However, we extend this concept, we take on as a concept, there's a concept of Mesiras Nefesh. We talk about a person's Mesiras Nefesh for Torah, learning Torah with difficulty, Mesiras Nefesh for Yiddishkeit, giving up so much in order to be able to keep Torah mitzvahs, buy a nice lulav, etc. We talk about Mesiras Nefesh, but what does Mesiras Nefesh actually mean? What does that concept mean? So there's one pshat which I saw, about as many pshat, and there's one pshat I saw, I think in the Mishnah Medrash, the Perish Medrash Shmuel, but I wasn't able to look at it yesterday, so I couldn't find it again. And he says that nefesh means rotzen. Nefesh means rotzen. Will, desire, what a person wants. So Mesiras Nefesh means giving up your rotzen or bending your rotzen to fit in with Ribbono Shel Olam. A person might have a natural rotzen to do a certain thing. Mesiras Nefesh is if he gives up that rotzen or he bends that rotzen in order to fit in with Ribbono Shel Olam. So we'll work with that definition. What do we think? What do we generally think about Mesiras Nefesh? How does it work? So a person thinks, as a rule, a person thinks, well, I could have done this deal, I could have done this activity, but I'll give it up in order to learn Torah, I'll give it up in order to give more for tzedakah, whatever it is. So the general idea that a person might think is that a person is Mesiras Nefesh, is giving up something in this world, and his tzedakah is losing out something in this world, but it's worthwhile because he's gaining schar in Olam Abba, which you can't compare to anything in this world. Yeah, so you're losing out in this world, but you're gaining in the next world. Yeah, that's a general idea about, I think, what we might think about Mesiras Nefesh. I want to prove that that's not true. That's not the case. We'll start with the mice of Dina. When Dina was born to Leah, the Pasuk says, "Va'acha yoldabas." Afterwards, Leah gave birth to a daughter. So Rashi makes a note of this with the other children, the other Shvatim. With the Shvatim, it says, "Yuzalashin v'taha." Yeah, over here, "Va'acha yoldabas." We talk. The Pasuk just tells us about the Leda. So Rashi brings some Chazal and says that there was a very interesting nais that happened over here. Very fascinating, unusual type of nais that happened over here. What was the nais? So Chazal tell us that when Leah was expecting this, her seventh child, she was mispalel that if it was going to be a zachar, if it was going to be a boy, it should become a nekeva. That's what she davened. And kachaya, it was supposed to be a zachar, yeah. And Kadosh Baruch Hu made an ace, and Dina was born. What was going on over here? So Leah made a cheshbon with her son. She said, "I now have six of the shiftei kah. Bilha and Zilpah have two each. That's 10." She knew, it was known through Nevuah, that there were going to be 12 Shvatim, 12 Shiftei Kah. So she made a cheshbon. If I have another son now, yeah, so I will have 7, yeah, Bilhah and Zilpah 8, 9, 10, 11, that means that Rachel will only have an opportunity of having one of the Shiftei Kah. She won't be equal to Bilhah and Zilpah, and that will make her feel slightly of less value, but she is not even equal to the to Bilhah and Zilpah. After all, she was the main wife, Hakeres Havayis. So therefore, Leah made a tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. Yeah, she gave up having one of the Shiftei Kah. That was a fantastic Mesiras Nefesh. Yeah, to set the foundations of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, by creating one of the Shvatim. We can't even begin to imagine, it's kind of not in our vocabulary, as to what a fantastic zuchus this would be. For the whole of history, that Leah was going to be build another foundation of Klal Yisrael, that was a tremendous zuchus. But she gave it up to preserve the dignity of her sister. She made a Mesiras Nefesh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim to her rotzen. And so it was that her seventh child, instead of being another of the Shvatim, was a daughter, was Dina. Okay, what would you expect? What would you expect is that Dina, who was born miraculously through an act of selflessness, you would expect that Dina would bring tremendous nachas, should be a glowing light of pride to her parents, to Klal Yisrael, yeah? And yet unfortunately we don't find that this is the case. Yeah? Well, we all know Dina, the Maaseh Shechem, she acted in a way which difficult for us to understand, but there was some imperfection in the way that she acted, and Shechem took her, was mazana with her, spoke to her, and this brought it's brought only shame and embarrassment. Yeah? In the end, things got so bad that the brothers were antagonistic towards her, so they sent her down to Mitzrayim. So far, it looks like I'm wrong on what people think are right. But Leah made a Mesiras Nefesh. She made a Mesiras Nefesh. She gave up something in this world, yeah, and she lost out. She lost out in this world because what happened with Dina was not so desirable. She lost out in this world, but she gained tremendous zachar in Olam Haba. So far, it looks like I'm wrong. You're right. However, That's because we're not looking at the end of the story. The Tana de Ben Yahu, and if you look in the Tao de Mionison Ben Aziel, says later on that what happened with Dinah? Yeah, what happened with this? And he says that Dinah appears, a mention of Dinah appears later on. Years later, so Yosef went to Mitzrayim and he married Osna. And Targum Yonason Ben Aziel says, who was this Osnath? And he says that Osnath was the daughter that Dinah had with Shechem. Okay, she was Misaba with Shechem. She had a child, and this child was in Mitzrayim, went down to Mitzrayim, was sent to Mitzrayim, and was reared, was brought up by Potiphar, and renamed her, or named her Osnath. And it was that Osnath that married Yosef. It makes sense. How could Yosef marry someone who wasn't Misabah, wasn't Jewish? So that's who Yosef married Osnath. What happened? Yeah. So the rest of the story fits in beautifully now. Yeah. That Yosef had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Those two sons were upgraded, if you like, to Shevatim. Yeah, as the Pasuk says, Ephraim, Manasseh, Reuben, Shimon, Yehuda. They became Shvatim, they became Shiftei Kah. So that's the end of the story. Gevaltig Azach. Yeah, that Leah had given up one of the Shvatim. Yeah? She made a Mesiras Nefesh. She gave up one of the Shvatim. What did she get back? She got back exactly the thing that she gave up, yeah? Plus extra, plus more. She gave up one Shevet, she got back two of the Shvatim. So we can see, at least from this Maisa, that a person makes a Mesiras Nefesh in this world, yeah? You're not losing out. You make a Mesiras Nefesh in this world, you get back what you gave up, yes? In this world, plus extra. And we see the same thing throughout Chazal. So Avada, there's a tremendous Zechah in Olam Haba. Yes, I guess that's the Ikka place of Sechar, the Sechar Mitzvah Ba'al Melecha. So that's the Ikka Sechar in Olam Haba. But don't think that you've lost out in this world because you've given something up. No, this world, you'll get back exactly the same thing plus extra. And we find a Maaseh in Gemara. Gemara talks about the halacha on Shabbos that you're not allowed to talk about your business interests. A person mustn't talk about his business interests. Yeah? What about thinking about business matters? So, okay, the Maaseh, there's no takana, the Issa is a davar davar, so not to speak about business matters, the davar davar, but to think about business matters, there's no specific takana not to. Avada, you should try not to, but the Issa is on speaking about your business interests. So the Gemara talks about a particular Yid who was always makbid on this. He was he had fields and vineyards, orchards, whatever it was, and he was always makbid on this point, not to try and avoid thinking of Avada, not speak about, also not to think about his business interests. And Gemara relates that one day he was walking along, and he was going past his fields, and he saw that there was a breach in one of the walls of his fields. Yeah, storm damage, whatever. And it bothered him a bit. He said, "Oh, I'm going to. What will happen? Thieves will come in, or wild animals will come in. I'll lose out." So he began to think, you know, I'm going to have to repair this Motzi Shabbos. Who's the cheapest contractor I can find? And this went through his. But then he cut himself. He said, "This is something I've always been makpid not to do. This is wrong. I need to be masakan this." So he put upon himself a knas, and he said, "You know what? I'm not going to repair this. I'm going to leave it as it is. Yeah, I shouldn't have had machshavas about repairing it. I'm going to leave it exactly as it is." And the Gemara says that that's what it is. He left it, but in the place where the hole in the where the wall where the fence had fallen down, the Gemara says a nace happened. Yeah, what happened was a particular type of tree grew and blocked up the hole. But it wasn't just an ordinary tree, it was a tree the fruits of which were extremely valuable. And the Gemara says he gained parnasa from these, from the fruits of this tree, to make up much, much more than any loss that he would have sustained. So you see the same thing. A person makes the Mesiras Nefesh in this world. Okay, Avada is going to get his schar in Olam HaEmes. But he doesn't lose out. He never loses out. Because he got back. Over there it was very, it was almost immediate. But he got back what he had given up, plus extra as well. We find many, many more examples. The most positive example is Rus Samaria. Yeah? Rus. So Rus gave up being a Moabi princess. And the Pasuk says that she was so stricken by poverty that when she went back with Noam, it says, V'telachma badarach, they went on the road. What's the chat? They went on the road. The Pasuk needs to tell us this. So Chazal tell us that they'd used up all their money, they'd sold everything they had, that they went barefoot back to Eretz Yisrael. They walked barefoot back to Eretz Yisrael. They're penniless, reduced to begging in the fields of other people. Rus of Adam made a tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. She gave up wealth as a Moabite princess, and she came back as penniless. Yet the rest of the story, of course, you know, she married Boaz, and a few generations later, David HaMelech was born. But that's again not the end of the story, because Chazal tell us that although Ruth must have been an old lady, Chazal tell us that Ruth was alive when David HaMelech came to the throne. So she sat and basked in the glory of her son starting off, or being the Melech of Yisrael, the greatest, most long-lasting Malchus, ultimately Mashiach is going to descend from. She gave up Moab, and we've forgotten about Moab nowadays. Don't even know on the map exactly which country it's supposed to be, with where's Moab. She gave that up, yeah, Tapni Hapni Malchus, and she got back a real Malchus, which is lasting La'olam Va'ad, Ad Yemos HaMashiach, including the same thing. She gave up Malchus, she got back Malchus in her lifetime, yeah, and not just any old Malchus, but the Malchus that really matters. I want to give you just one more example, and this is slightly different way of looking at a Mesiras Nefesh, perhaps. But I think many of you listened to Shiurim yesterday by Reb Pesach Kron about avoiding, and Reb Matisyahu Solomon about avoiding envy. So there's a beautiful example of Moshe and Aaron, which also relates to what we're saying as well. Parshas Truma, the Pasuk says, makes a lot, goes to great length to say where the Choshen exactly was positioned on Aaron. It says three times that it was placed al libay on his heart. The Pasuk says, V'nosa Aaron Shemais B'nai Yisrael B'Choshen HaMishpat al libay. Few Pasukim later, V'hoyu al libay. V'nosa Aaron Mishpat B'nai Yisrael al libay L'fnei Hashem Tamid. So the Pasuk puts a great stress that the Choshen was al-libay. So Rashi brings from the Gemara, from Chazal, from a Medrash, and says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was originally appointed to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, so the Pasuk says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this news over to Aaron, yeah, this was a mokum for there to be some twinge, some pang of envy or begrudgingness. After all, Aaron was the older brother, and Aaron looked like at this point in time he was being left out, and Moshe, who couldn't even speak so clearly, Moshe was the one who was going to be appointed, and what was happening to Aaron, yeah? So if there was ever a place for maybe a twinge of envy, yeah, or something like that, yeah, some pang, my older brother, and I'm the older brother, and he gets all the kavod, and what's happening to me? Yeah, those of you who've got who are older brothers or have got older brothers might appreciate it. If there's ever a place where you might at least temporarily, yeah, this is a makam. Yeah, and that the Prophet says the samach b'libai. At that point, when Aaron, the point in time when Aaron heard his older brother, his younger brother was appointed in preference to him, yeah, it says the samach b'libai. He had simcha in his heart for the appointment of his younger brother before younger brother, no envy at all. Says the Medrash, it was because of that the samach b'libai that he was zaycha to become the Kohen Gadol and to wear the Choshen Libai al Libai. The Medrash says, that pure heart that could be Mesameach when his younger brother was given all the kavod ahead of him, yeah, that pure heart that showed Simcha, the Samach B'Levi, that's the heart that is fitting to wear the Choshen, which goes al Libai, which can be as pure enough to be Mechapa for Klal Yisrael. Can understand now why the Pasuk mentions Al-Libai so much. That's the Nakuda. That was... It turns out that Aaron had made, if we can tie this in with what we're saying, Aaron had made a Mesiras Nefesh of sorts. It's not just a Mesiras Nefesh, what a person does, but what a person, how a person feels is also Mesiras Nefesh. So Aaron had made a Mesiras Nefesh in that he was happy that his brother was appointed before him. Yeah, he put his brother's covered before his own covered, and he was a Mesameach for his brother, and he didn't care about himself. That was a form of Mesiras Nefesh. And that's, again, that's what earned him his high position of being the Kohen Gadol as well. And although you might say, well, the Melech is still higher than the Kohen Gadol, but you know, in some ways, Aaron's position was something that was greater than Moshe's position. Why? Because it was hereditary. Yeah? Aaron, the position of Cain, the position of the Kohuna, stayed with Aaron and his family and remained there Adi Yamazer. Yeah? The descendants of Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't know who they are. That was during the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu. Didn't even go to his children, went to his Talmud, went to Yeshua. But the position of Cain was something which was in that, perhaps was superior to that. Yeah? And how was that earned? Through the Mesiras Nefesh, through the willingness of heart, through the lack of envy, through the simcha about someone else's good fortune, that's what earned Aaron the zechus to be the Kohen Gadol, and that the Kohuna should remain in his family, the Olam. So what do we learn from this? It's one of the tricks of the Yetzer Hara, and many times we lose out, many nisyonos are failed. Because this is a trick of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara comes and says, you know what, you don't want to, it'd be nice if you do this, but this business deal would be good, or this recreation activity, whatever it is, you're going to lose out. So it'd be nice if you went to the Shir, it'd be nice if you went to the Chavrusa, it would be nice if you... But look what you're going to lose out. You've got an opportunity, you're going to lose it out, so don't go to the Shir, don't have the Chavrusa, do something else. Often the Yetzer Hara comes with such timers, yeah? And he presents that Nisayon that you're going to lose out. We can see that we have now an answer to the Yetzer Hara. It is not true. Mister, you're not talking the truth. I'm not going to lose out. By doing the correct thing, by being Kavish al Yitzri, yeah? Not only, as we've seen, not only do you gain in Olam Haba, Ikaschar, but don't think you're losing out in this world. You're not going to lose out in this world. You're going to get back exactly the thing that you gave up in some shape or form. Yeah, you're going to get it back in Olam Hazeh, plus you're going to get back extra. You're going to gain, you're going to get back even more. We're now at a time of Binyan, after the Churban, perhaps even at the time of the Churban is a Zman of Binyan. The more a person is misabel on Yerushalayim, that is the beginning of the binyan Beis Hamikdash. The ikar churban of the Beis Hamikdash was beliban shel Yisrael. So the ikar binyan of the Beis Hamikdash is beliban, is in our hearts, in our minds. And if we follow the inyanim of Mesiras Nefesh, if we follow the derech, as I said yesterday, the Rabbanim said yesterday, follow the derech of Moshe and of Aaron, how he was banished envy, was Moshe Nefesh for someone else, Mesameach for someone else, then for sure that will continue the binyan and bring us closer to the binyan by Shlishi.